Welcome to Globally Speaking, a podcast dedicated to unlocking global understanding. Join us as we engage with experts and innovators who are reshaping the way we connect with global audiences. Whether seeking to refine your approach, wanting to expand your understanding of AI and its role in transcending global communication barriers, or just curious about the intricacies of global content, this podcast promises to enlighten and inspire.
Hello and welcome to this mini-series of Globally Speaking on the future of human-machine collaboration and our philosophy on the power of the two combined, which we call genuine intelligence. I'm Emma Fisher, VP Global Marketing, and I'm joined today by Frank Closet, Head of R&D at RWS. Welcome, Frank. Do you just want to give yourself a quick introduction and a background to you and your role at RWS?
Yep. Thanks, Emma. So, as you said, my name is Frank Closet. I live in Belgium with my wife and my two beautiful daughters. Besides spending some time with my family, I am a passionate guitar player. The issue with passion is not that you're not always talented, so they don't necessarily need to go together. So that's a bit of a pity, but still I'm passionate at it. I like to play paddle, which is a new sport in Belgium. It's getting quite popular. It's a combination between tennis and squash. So that keeps me busy in my free time. On a professional level, I've been active in the content management space since the early 2000s. I used to be the product manager of Tridion Docs, and I also started development of Tridion Docs back in 2000. And thereafter, I've been in a various number of positions like pre-sales. I've been in professional services. And then in 2018, I became responsible for the entire Tridion R&D and product team. So that means for Tridion Sites and for Tridion Docs.
Thank you. You know, you've played a key part in this report that we released earlier in the year, and the report outlined the philosophy on the future of human intelligence and artificial intelligence, which we call genuine intelligence. And that report had six key themes that underpinned that philosophy. Today, you're here to kind of deep dive into content confidence, which is all about how we can navigate the murky waters of AI-generated false information versus fostering a digital landscape where content's much more reliable and trustworthy. So, you know, if we go into the first question around AI-generated content, it's loaded as a profound question in terms of the challenge we have with misinformation. You know, anyone can use Gen AI to produce fake text, image, audio, video content. And we're seeing quite a few examples that might seem harmless and a bit fun today, but there's a real kind of seed of potential for more serious fraudulent impersonations, especially as the technology continues to develop. You know, how do we know what's real and how do companies navigate this era, Frank?
Okay. I think you have highlighted a key concern about AI-generated content here. So I think initially the problems of generative AI was, or at least that's what people thought, is that it will completely automate the content creation process. Anyone these days, as you said, can generate text, images, nowadays even videos. And to be honest, the results are quite amazing, right? And that, I think, explains that the people are finding or are trusting AI-generated content at this moment in time. Now, in reality, large language models, they are prone to hallucinate. They sometimes present false information as a fact. They are creating responses from non-authoritative sources. So how do we know what is real? And I think one of the main things is that content producers should not or must not rely on artificial intelligence. And instead, they should be confident that the content they are creating, that is authentic, that's accurate, and that's reliable. Right? And that is only possible with a high level of human oversight. For that reason, I do feel that companies need to start investing in, for example, robust verification mechanisms. I think companies and most companies are doing that already. They need to adopt some ethical guidelines on how to use artificial intelligence inside their company. And I think the most important thing is just be clear and transparent with your customers, with your consumers, what has been generated with AI and what has not. Right? And just giving that clarity will already help a lot.
I think it's quite interesting. I read a PwC report that notes that 42% of consumers would stop using a brand after a single negative experience. It's kind of underscoring that the high stakes that these AI interaction failures are having. And we've seen a lot of kind of risk of misinformation, I call it miscommunication, where chatbots have been implemented on sites to assist customers with customer experience. But the way in which they've been implemented have meant that they've gone a bit rogue and a bit wrong. You know, we've got the DPD, which is a British parcel delivery company that was giving, wrong information to customers and actually, swearing. We've got an example of a GM dealership in the US that, witnessed firsthand a financial kind of jeopardy and a humorous blunder where they were offering a Chevy Tahoe at the absurd price of a dollar. So there's lots of examples where, misinformation might not always be deliberate, and it can be an inherent issue with LLMs and the problem with hallucinations, which means that kind of machine presents false or illogical information, as you've just said, Frank, as fact. Can you explain a bit more about what hallucination means and what we can do against this?
Okay. Well, I think in simple terms, when we say a large language model hallucinates, is as you said, when the content it generates is irrelevant, it's made up, it's factually incorrect. You gave a few examples. Another example would be like a New York lawyer. He submitted like 6 non-existent cases to the U.S. court, right? Because he was over relying on the technology, and he's facing some sanctions right now. So that's pretty dangerous. Mm-hmm. Now, why is that? First of all, people need to realize that the large language model is not a search engine, right? They're good and very good at language, right? And they're very good at predicting the next word that might be relevant in a certain context. The second thing is that a large language model, they are as good as the data they're trained on. So if the training data is incomplete, biased, or contains some inaccuracies, then the model might generate some nonsensical outputs. Right, and the third thing is that it might also generate some nonsensical outputs when they lack sufficient context, for example, or they don't really understand the intent of the request. And in that sense, prompt engineering is so important that we provide the necessary context to the large language model. Now, the thing that you can do about it, I think in simple terms, is that you need to use the large language model, the LLM, where it's good at, and it's very good at language, as I said before. They are impressive, the language skills of a large language model, and that is also the reason why it can be so convincing. Now, at RWS and at Tridion, for example, we are using Tridion Docs. Well, we have developed Tridion Docs Genius, which is a AI-driven knowledge portal, which we will bring to the market real soon. And in that product, we're just not over-relying on the large language model. We are using it to generate responses, right? But we use a technique called retrieval augmented generation just to enhance the accuracy and the reliability of the output that is generated by the large language model.
And I think, you've just mentioned RAG in terms of a way to blend the output from LLMs with the contextual information retrieval from external or internal sources. And it's got lots of good customer experience use cases, supporting conversational agents, information retrieval, content creation, educational tools, legal research and analysis. What exactly is retrieval augmented generation? Who created it and why is it considered, important in the context of today?
Yeah. What it comes down to is basically the following. First of all, what we do is that we're searching our own knowledge base. Reason being is because that knowledge base contains relevant and factually correct information, and we're searching it using a variety of mechanisms, like using an ontology, taxonomy, metadata, vectorized vectors, and that kind of stuff. Right. So as such, we are providing the large language model with a pool of relevant results. The next thing we'll ask the large language model to do is to summarize a likely answer for you, right? And if you don't feel that the answer is completely addressing the problem, well, you can keep chatting to the large language model, right? And it's like just talking to a friend or a colleague, trying to figure it out together. So you will come closer and closer to a good answer, basically. The reason why it's adopted, it has a few advantages, right? And I think one of the advantages is it's very cost effective, right? Because you don't need to retrain the underlying AI model. And what we have seen with customers trying this, that is, if you want to implement AI technology and if you want to fine tune it and train the underlying model, it can be technically challenging. And it is sometimes too expensive for companies to go after. I think the thing what is even better is it will not hallucinate, right? And therefore, you can start trusting the content that is coming out of the large language model. And I think the third thing is it's explainable, right? Since the responses are generated from like factually correct content from authoritative sources, we can always link back to it, right? So you get a response, and you can link back to it, and you can read the original text of it. And I think that's also a key advantage of the retrieval augmented generation model.
So I was reading something from IDC about AI project success. You know, it's crucial, but it's challenging. And it was citing that 47% of organizations report at least one AI project failure, really highlighting the paramount of the importance of going through both not just the testing, but, you know, ensuring that you have the right implementation when it comes to LLMs within your business. I think, you know, RAG is something that is going to be a critical part when it comes to kind of conversational implementation of content for customer experience. And one thing that we've spoken about at the beginning, and we kind of underpin all of what we do with regards to human and machine collaboration, is our philosophy around genuine intelligence. So, you know, if I ask you, Frank, what does genuine intelligence mean to you in the context of content confidence?
I think genuine intelligence, I think the main part is about recognizing that human oversight is still very much needed when creating authentic content. I think that's part number one. But I think it's also recognizing that the technology will make humans more productive than ever before. Right? I do often get the questions, will AI make humans irrelevant? I don't think so, right? But it's my belief that humans without artificial intelligence, they will become redundant, right? So it's not a question about humans versus artificial intelligence. For me, it's more a question about humans that are empowered by artificial intelligence. I think that's also one of the reasons that we at RWS are spending tens of millions of dollars investing in this, right? And providing our customers with the solutions they need in products like Trados, Language Weaver, and Tridium, just to deliver content confidence at scale and at speed.
Yeah, well, I read something about with the term superhumans in the loop, which I really love that term with regards to, you know, AI is now allowing you to be to advance, to be able to do things faster, better, and, you know, making sure that you're kind of paired with AI and you are not ignoring it gives you kind of this kind of superpower to be able to do more with less. I quite like that term. Can you share some key elements for delivering content confidence as a company?
Yeah. I don't want to repeat myself, but I think it's very important that the content we generate is accurate, it's authentic, it's correct. I think that's what is needed, and that's why when people start trusting the content. But I think we do live in a more complex world these days, right? And we need to connect with audiences with diverse cultural backgrounds, different values, different beliefs, right? So it's not as simple as just being factually correct, in my opinion, right? And the content that we're generating, it needs to, for example, first of all, it needs to be the translations that we deliver, they need to be accurate. I think that's simple, right? But we also need to ensure that we, for example, comply with local regulations. We need to ensure appropriateness of the communications we're in. We need to think about cultural sensitivity and relevance. And we need to be inclusive as well. So it's just more than factually correct. You need to connect with the audiences with different values and beliefs. I think that's the most important thing too.
Yeah, and I think, as you said, you know, we're acutely aware of the need for ethical AI practices and the kind of that robust oversight to help prevent that spread of misinformation and protect that kind of content integrity as we move forward. Well, thanks, Frank. You know, as a summary, how could Gen AI save an author's time safely, especially in the context of what you're doing in Tridium as well?
I think Gen AI can help generate drafts of things that you need to write down. It can provide outlines, it can provide ideas, right? And I don't think it will replace human creativity, because I still think that human creativity is very much needed, but it will add to it. It will make you more productive in the end. The other thing it will do, especially in the case of Tridium, it will help you to edit your drafts for grammar. It will check for spelling mistakes, punctuation style errors. So it will save the author's time and effort. It can also efficiently proof test, so, and give you an indication on quality. But I think the most important thing is that it will automate repetitive tasks, and that will give room for the content producer to be more, well, to focus more on strategic and on creative and, well, more strategic and creative activities, basically.
When do you, just to give us a kind of a flavor of when Tridion Docs Genius is available, you know, when is that going to be released?
That will be released by the end of the month, so we're close. So that's like 2 weeks away.
Oh, exciting. Okay. Thank you, Frank. Really appreciate you kind of spending the time to go through that with us today. And hopefully we can kind of get you back on once we've had some really good kind of use cases and we've got maybe a client to talk about how they're implementing Tridion Docs and making content delivery more interactive and human as we move forward with into the next few months. So thank you again for joining us.
Thank you, Emma. Thanks for having me, by the way.